The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies feline with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
A celebratory Monday. If you're a Texans fan, I'm not going to pretend like everyone roots for the Texans, but for the most part, the city is filled with Texans fans, and a big win over the Chargers. But let's start it with, well, a pertinent question. Sean, you can either start this show on a positive note, or let's say maybe not a down note, but less than enthusiastic. This is your time to put your stamp on the show very early. There are certainly things that happened to you, particularly on a Friday. Not necessarily to you, but you watched it happen on a Friday.
To me.
You went to the school. You can say to you. That may have you in a down mood, although you did come wearing a certain sweatshirt to rep. But hey, it's time to ask the question. Now it's a playoff edition. Mm-hmm. Maybe how you grade is a little tougher in the playoffs than it is in the regular season, or maybe it's a little more lenient. We will see. We don't get to play this very much, but after watching C.J. Stroud against the Chargers on Saturday afternoon, and let me give you some of the context. Sure, the numbers are what they are, but I have to let people know or remind them that he narrowly avoided two other interceptions. He threw a bad one, but the linebacker Henley dropped the pick. Derwin James was one like yanked face mask away by Dalton Schultz from holding onto that football and picking off another one. So it could have been three, but it was only one. Was that a Shred'em Shroud performance yesterday?
First of all,
Saturday.
I just realized that this is basically like on Groundhog Day if the groundhog sees the shadow. Like this is our version of
sure
of Punxsutawney Phil.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said.
I am surprised. The numbers, 22 out of 33, 282 yards, a touchdown, an interception, a passer rating of only 90.7, did have multiple big scrambles in that game, and one that didn't constitute a scramble. It led to a throw that kind of got the Texans off and running, the one to Hutchinson. That was a big play.
From that point on. No doubt, shred him.
Well,
before that,
he also almost threw that pick to Derwin James. So, despite the almost picks, but they're almost. They don't go on the stat sheet. You are.
I don't see a
but I like
a column for almost.
I know, but I like. Well, if PFF will have turnover worthy plays, they will. But that's not on the ESPN. That's
app.
Not on the ESPN box score. You are right. But sure, despite what you might have seen, you will give that a shred 'em shroud performance.
I think part of it is also it is the playoffs. What's most important, Dell?
The W.
Getting a W.
That's
not
right.
Not throwing your team out of the game like other quarterbacks at NRG Stadium have done. In the very recent past, like on Saturday,
yes.
And in years gone by. Shout out to you, Brian Hoyt.
Mm-hmm. So it just happened.
I think 280 yards in a playoff game, like you said, 8.5 average, not awesome. But when you take into account Nico Collins is the only receiver that they have that strikes fear in the heart of anyone. Even strikes, we got to cover that guy. Make sure to cover that guy in the hearts of anyone. Yeah, give me a shred-em shroud for CJ.
All right, we got one. A playoff shred-em shroud for CJ Stroud. As you pointed out, it was rough going for the entire team. It honestly felt like we're getting it. Now, there wasn't a return for a touchdown, but it honestly felt like, is this going to be like Chiefs-Texans from I don't know what year it was.
I think.
When there was the return and they were never in it, it felt like we were getting to that territory. But the defense got a stop, and then the John Metchie fumble, and they got another stop, a big play on, I think, first down by Mario Edwards and Will Anderson after he ran through J.K. Dobbins. Those two combined for a sack that put the Chargers behind the chains, and they were able to force another field goal. But, yeah, it was tough going early. But they got into the game. The Chargers didn't take advantage of their opportunity. And then as we will point to, and everyone will point to, you had the, 99-yard touchdown drive?
Yes.
Was it 99 yards to give them the lead? So you got to give the Texans all the credit in the world for not allowing the early portions of that game to determine how that game was going to go. We've seen across the weekend, particularly yesterday, where the Packers fumbled the opening kickoff, and that turn the tide of a game, and they never got back in it. You go down early in a playoff game, all that momentum goes the opposite way. It could be curtains for you, but the Texans didn't allow it to happen. They fought through. Their defense, remarkable. Justin Herbert threw the four picks. Three were definitely his fault. The other one, Will Disley should have caught. Will Disley had a tough game. But overall, the pressure they put on him got those feet moving. He is not a guy who throws the ball with great touch anyway, and the Texans played into that. And then when they're pushing the pocket on him, you could see that their inability to run the ball after like the first drive changed the complexion of that ball game, because he looked good early because they could run the ball. It wasn't a game where, at least early, where they were depending on him. And that's kind of what the Chargers have done. As much as he hasn't thrown interceptions up until Saturday, it was partly because they de-emphasized his importance. Some of that has to do with, hey, you don't have the receivers to be important. But they ran the ball, controlled the clock, played defense. That's how they win ball games. And the moment it became a situation where the run game was gone and they had to drop back the pass and Justin Herbert had to be the guy to try to beat Stingley and Lassiter and deal with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, I was like, that's the Justin Herbert I remember from big moments. That's the one I can always count on to not show up when it matters. It was a tough one for football nerds. Football nerds love Justin Herbert. The film guys, the film bros, they love themselves and Justin Herbert's. They love his traits. They love, it's like, hey, big guy, throw ball far. They love that. They love that stuff. Didn't matter on Saturday because there are more components than, hey, I got all the traits in the world. And I don't know if you want to call it guy can't step up when it matters, all the clutch stuff that the debate shows like to talk about, but in his last, what are we talking about? Last three halves of playoff football, last 10 quarters of playoff football, he's been atrocious. He's been terrible. And the Texans added on to it. You got a defense who hunted all game long. And even when CJ Stroud throws an awful pick, Kamari Lassiter makes a play. You know, Stingley got his hands on a couple of footballs. And then, of course, Eric Murray with the pick six that changed it from a one-score game to a two-score game. And at that point, the game was over. I didn't have any faith that was going to be a ball game after that play. Herbert's feet were a little out of sorts. He threw the ball high over McConkey's head. Eric Murray made the play, ran it back, and that was game. So while it didn't go exactly like the Cleveland game, the Texans did score another non-offensive touchdown. I think that's four straight games that in the playoffs where they scored a non-offensive touchdown. And I got a feeling they're going to need another one next week to win. But that's Saturday. We'll get into the Chiefs later. But what happened on Saturday was a credit to them, because I didn't really buy into, oh, they got their mojo back because they had the one drive. And I'm not sure I still do, because if you come out of the gates looking as poor as they did, what could have possibly happened in that Tennessee game that would have carried over? But they got settled in. And I think the opponent was a perfect one. That's a flawed team whose guards aren't great. And their tackles, particularly Joe Alt, he's young. He'll be probably a really good tackle going forward. But he's going against Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson. I didn't expect them to hold up, particularly because the Texans got after them and kept them from running the ball. So they win a game going away. For the second consecutive year, they punish a team coming in to NRG. My big question about what happens next, because I hear a lot of people talk about, hey, they can go into Kansas City and win because of their defense, and all they need is a couple plays from their offense. Does the Texans defense travel? You start to look at the numbers about what they look like on the road. Sure, they forced Jordan Love into a couple picks, but he still led a game-winning drive through three touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers in that second half had his way. I mean, Patrick Mahomes didn't have a giant game, but he was effective enough, and they ran the ball for over 4 yards per carry. That's the question. You start to look into the numbers. As great as they are at home, they torture quarterbacks at home, from Tua to Jared Goff to Justin Herbert to Josh Allen. Let's not mention Lamar. Lamar had his way. Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, they may have their way with the entire league the way they're going running the football. But on the road, the Texans' defense is mortal. Can they put up the type of performance they put up on Saturday on the road in Kansas City? We'll find out. We'll see. Because the cold can make cowards of people. Not that I'm calling them cowards, but they're going to – the cold makes cowards of football players. Like, some guys don't like to hit
in
the
cold. And radio producers. I've heard.
It's true. I don't like the cold.
I woke up today. I was like, thank God.
It's 50. Warm. Yeah. I love it. But they're going to have to deal with the elements. They didn't handle them very well against – Baltimore last year. And by the way, it wasn't like 10 degrees. It was in the 20s. Of course, feels like felt worse. And that will be the case in Kansas City. It'll be in the 20s, but I'm sure it'll feel like it's in the teens or maybe lower. I want to see that defense travel, because they're going to be dependent on. I don't expect the offense to be great on Saturday afternoon or going to Saturday evening. Their defense is going to have to play well, and we'll see if they travel, because they have not played as well as you would think on the road in the regular season.
Yeah, it is funny that the cliche football talk is like, oh, defense travels. It's like, these guys not really.
Yeah, they don't really.
I don't really know why. Like you said, like at home they force a bunch of good quarterbacks into their worst performance of the year. Like yeah. they really step it up at home. They did that with Josh Allen, of course.
Goff.
Did it with Goff. Did it with Tua. So, and then they did it to Herbert. Herbert threw three interceptions all year. He threw four.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday. So, yeah, that to me is the question. Do they travel? I think they can. I don't know why specifically they can't. But will they is the question. And I think we both kind of reject the fact that the idea that the Tennessee game helped them get their mojo back.
Yeah, I don't believe
it. But maybe at least defensively, or especially defensively, maybe this game got their mojo back. They can ride a little bit of momentum into Kansas City.
Look, the game defensively was impressive. D'Amico talked about it in his post game about how they can be a dominant football team when they play like they're supposed to. Well, yeah, but the other team has a part in how you play, and the Chargers not being as good as the teams you're going to face if you're trying to make a Super Bowl has a part to play. The Chargers are a surprise. They weren't supposed to make the playoffs. Them winning 10 games was an accomplishment for Jim Harbaugh and that staff with a roster that isn't great. But the problem with overachieving is at some point you are going to maybe reach your level. And the pressure points and that the Chargers have that can be broken were lining up with how the Texans play and their strengths. And we saw that defensive line go hunt, and that led to the overthrows and the bad throws by Justin Herbert. While the Chiefs aren't as great as they have been on the offensive line, they're different tests, and that probably goes without saying. Going into Kansas City is going to just be a whole different bag than playing at home against the Chargers team, who, despite being favored, we talked about it last week, weren't scared of the Chargers. There's nothing insurmountable about the Chargers, and the Texans showed that.
They're not scared of the Chargers. Scared of the other three teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, the teams that remain.
The two teams that won and the team that had a bye.
Yeah, the other three teams that were penciled in and maybe pinned in as Super Bowl contenders before the year, yeah, still scared of those guys, and rightfully so, considering what we saw the Browns, what the Chiefs didn't do because they had the bye, but what they've done really the last half a decade or more, and then the Ravens and then the Bills, yes, those are teams you should be afraid of. The Chargers are on your level, and it turns out not even on your level. You went in there and kicked their ass for 2.5 quarters. The first quarter and a half was like, ooh.
Yeah, the first quarter and a half was, you said the Brian Hoyer game. It actually reminded me more of the Andrew Luck Colts game.
The 21-7 game? Was that what, or did it wind up 21-14?
It might have been, but it was 21-0.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
It's just that there's the Chargers send out Dicker instead of scoring touchdowns. So.
Yeah. And Dicker had probably one of the worst plays I've ever seen.
What was he doing?
Did no one tell him what happens? That's a live football,
also,
Cameron.
Also, the holder, you see the holder just like stand up straight and just kind of watch the play happen. Like he also didn't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the Chargers special teams coach told his specialists, what really throughout the year, for them not to know that that's a live ball. Frank Ross clearly came out ahead when it came to the special teams coordinator.
That might have been the biggest. Maybe
D'Amico versus Herbert and Roman was a pretty big gap too. It looked like,
but the special teams difference definitely felt it.
Yes, and the Texans get a giant win. They feel great about themselves, and rightfully so. And we'll hear from Joe Mixon when we come back. He was a guy who told us before the playoffs started that this team can go on a run, and he's certainly talking about. He's certainly talking about a going on a run after the game. We'll hear from him and his thoughts about a potential AFC title game appearance. So Joe Mixon, at least so far, right on the money when it comes to his team and what he thinks they can accomplish. So we'll get to him when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet is a place you should go to if you're looking for a new car, a pre-owned car, or if you own a business and want to add to your fleet. I mention all those things because they're great in providing service in those three categories. If you want like a new Tahoe or Blazer, they have those out there for you. You can check out all the inventory at monumentchevrolet.com. Maybe simply you're looking for something pre-owned, but you want to know once you get the car, it's going to be something that's dependable once you get it off the lot. And that's part of the reason Monument Chevrolet provides this, a 6-month, 6,000-mile warranty. Look, don't expect the car to fall apart. They're going to provide you a great vehicle. But if there's any concern, they have that warranty set aside for you just in case. Just in case something happens, unexpected, they'll take care of it for you. Just bring it back to them. That's what they're all about, serving the customer. That's why they've been in business for 50 years. 50 years serving the community. And because they just finished celebrating their 50-year anniversary, they're extending it, all their deals for that 50 years until January 31st. So if you're looking for something special for yourself or someone else, go out to monumentchevrolet.com, and maybe you'll meet Melissa. She's the salesperson of the week. She's been out there for a couple of years, consistently helping people get the best car they can. No hidden fees, no upcharges. They're all about taking care of you. Check them out at monumentchevrolet.com or head on out there. It's off of Beltway 8 and 225 in Pasadena. And just remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
If you want to get in on the show, whether it be Texans talk or anything else, you can. 713-780-3776. We welcome your calls. So I was thinking back on, well, really the draft process. I'm thinking we were here doing a show. I think it was the second day of the draft because the Texans didn't have a first-round pick. We were here on Friday doing the show after the normal broadcast day, doing a draft show, talking about who the Texans could get. And when they picked Kamari Lassiter, the thought was, oh, they took a nickel corner. Why would the Texans take a nickel corner when they need an outside guy? Because, at least according to our very own Lance Zierlein, Kamari Lassiter profiled as that. He didn't run as well as you might like on the for an outside guy, and it felt like, at least according to experts, that this would be the spot he would be best suited to. And all he's done since being put on the outside is help form one of the best cornerback tandems in the league. In fact, if we want to be real, maybe the best cornerback tandem in the league. I'm trying to think of others. When you have an all-pro in Stingley and Kamari Lassiter on the other side, who had a big pick. We had a caller that we didn't get to in the previous show. He pointed to the Kamari Lassiter pick as the one that turned the game around. We had the C.J. Stroud pick early in the second quarter on third down that had the Chargers in great field position. And on the next play, the Chargers take their shot, and Justin Herbert throws a ball across the field on a rollout. He's getting a little pressure, but he throws it off of 1 foot. He tries to get Quentin Johnson football, and he's bracketed by Kalen Bullock. I know people push back on how to pronounce that, Bullock, whatever. And Kamari Lassiter, just jumps up, makes a play. Great ball skills for the two corners, which is very cool because you have guys who can get their hands to footballs and guys who can take it away. And they have a couple guys who, if the ball touches their hand, it's pretty much going their way, which certainly was a big part of the game. And that play, now it didn't lead to points. The Texans continued to sputter, but the Chargers were at least in the range to kick another field goal and go up by two possessions. And hell, they actually punch it in. Now you're down 13-0, and that place is completely dead. And we've seen playoff games in that building go really poorly and how the crowd reacts. As good as they were, because the Chargers kept allowing pressure and turn the ball over and getting the quarterback hit, if it's 13-0, that crowd's dead. And the momentum shifts completely to the Chargers, and the Texans have a long road to get back to try to grab it back. So the Kamari Lassiter play, I think I would agree. As much as CJ's play felt like a happy accident, the Kamari Lassiter play was about excellence and what he's shown all year long. I think considering the injuries to Stephon Diggs, and I think Kamari Lassiter is the biggest acquisition they made in the offseason. Azeez Ashir got a lot of noise because of what happened in Jacksonville and the subsequent talk about him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hard-hitting linebacker, leader of the defense, so on and so forth.
Conky in the face. All the, yeah. Did you see that video?
All that stuff, too. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it when people are just like, I don't know what I'm watching. I've never seen a football game before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. He punched him in the face.
Yeah. But I can't find a bit as much as Kalen Bullock has as good as he's been.
Yeah.
There's not been a – and Danielle Hunter's been great too.
The only ones I would think are Hunter and Mixon.
Mixon is another one.
Those are the two that, to me, have a case.
Maybe it's because I don't think the offense is as good as it was predicted to be. I'm docking Mixon through no fault of his own. But cornerback, I thought, was a giant question mark coming into the year. I thought their secondary as a whole, beyond Stingley, had plenty of questions, and two rookies have shored that up. The fact that you found yourself a lockdown corner who can take the ball away in the second round of the draft, I can't find a bigger acquisition. When you compare their pass rush to what those two corners can do in man, and how scary they are to throw the ball against, you got to credit Nick Cassero for finding a collect. Danielle Hunter is like, oh, you paid an accomplished defensive end a lot of money. Now, of course, it could go poorly, but that's a guy we know. He's productive. Yeah. I know. They found him in the wilds of Minnesota
after
to come play for us
in the league.
Yeah,
they found him.
How could they have seen that? But drafting Kamari Lassiter and saying from like the get go, no, yeah, we signed Okuda. Yeah, we brought in that C.J. Henderson fella. Lassiter's our starting corner from day one.
Yeah, and if you want to say he's the most impactful because of what you said, that he was a guy that they needed to step into a role immediately and step into what we thought was the biggest weakness on this team back in August, and how he's played, where now we're saying, is he the best? Is this the best corner combination in the league? I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure.
But there's an argument to be made.
Just because, and not that I have one like, no, it's these guys. It's just off the top of my head. I'm literally not sure. But yeah, to do what he's done, and especially being a guy that, you know, conventional wisdom says that you're a rookie corner on the opposite side of one of the best corners in the league. Teams are going to go after you. Teams are going to target you because they're definitely not throwing Stingley's way. Mm-hmm. And to do that all year long, to take on that challenge and to be one of the bright spots of a Houston Texans team that, you know, until Saturday was a very disappointing one. I think he has a case. If you want to use that as like the tiebreaker, because Joe Mixon has probably been like better at his job than Kamari Lassiter has. But if you want to say he's more impactful, I can definitely see where you're coming from there.
And we saw Joe Mixon's impact as they ground the Chargers out late. They kept running the ball down their throats. He had a couple great runs on that final scoring drive. So I'm not going to take anything from Mixon. I was completely wrong about him. I thought at least his time in Cincinnati ended for a reason. He was kind of meh in his final stretches there. He has turned that around. He said it very early when he got here. I think it was after that first regular season game where he said, I'm glad to be playing big boy football, fullback in front of me, or tight end, whatever it might be, depending on the personnel grouping. Because Cincinnati did a lot of running out of shotgun. That just fit Joe Burrow in that offense. So you're certainly going to play to your quarterback. And he wanted to be a place where he could run like he's running. Big formations. Get guys in front of me. I'll make plays. And when it's not being blocked well, his ability to make a guy miss in the backfield and even just turn a one-yard loss into a four-yard game, it's been pretty big for them. So, yes, I think on the offensive side of the ball, there's no question who I think has been the most impactful player. As much as Nico Collins is a really good player, I think Joe Mixon gets that award, and I think it goes to your rookie, Kamari Lassiter. And let's give, before we wrap up the segment, let's give old Bobby a little credit. Bobby Slowick, people were calling for a change, and I'm not sure how big the change was, but the breaking routes, the slants, those routes quickly getting the ball out of CJ's hand, making him more of a distributor, were big. The Nico Collins touchdown on third and goal, Alonny Gilman stuck, didn't move, and you look at the outside corner who was shading him to the outside to funnel Nico Collins into the safety. He just looked back, and you know, okay, Gilman screwed this up, at least according to the corner, because he, I guess, was playing two routes at once because there was another route coming across, almost across his face. He just let Nico Collins get to the outside, did not drive on the football. Nico gets into the end zone. You can see the Chargers had a plan. They knew that route was coming. They felt like they had the perfect defense, but it didn't matter. CJ got that ball of his hands too quickly. Nico Collins caught that ball on the run and got into the end zone. So Bobby Slowick leaned into the inside breaking stuff, in breaking stuff, because we saw quite a bit, not against Tennessee, but the game before against the Ravens, where CJ kept missing on the outside stuff. The outs, the stuff outside the hashes, he was poor. Was that going to be a sign of things to come? I don't know, but they didn't really lean into that against the Chargers. It was inside the hashes, get the ball in your hands quick. Sorry, I just saw the mic drop for no reason.
So did I.
Yeah, I was like, so did I. What was that? Distracted me a little bit. It felt like more Ohio State CJ Stroud. We're just in a pocket. You're the point guard. You see your route. And, of course, if Nico Collins is your number one, you want to get him the ball quickly. And that worked quite a bit. It didn't lead to points early, but it did seem like a change in philosophy, and maybe it was just simply how the Chargers were going to play the Texans. And the Texans adapted and found ways to get Nico Collins football over 120 yards receiving for him. He is still that guy, and they're going to need him quite a bit because, I mean, Mechie's the first time he touches football, he fumbles. Hutchinson has the one play, but that was a broken play. Is Hutchinson going to just beat coverage consistently? Probably not. Probably not his bag, but he was available for the one play, and certainly that drive right before the half led to the Texans getting a touchdown. And credit to the Chargers for not running any time off the clock on the ensuing drive. And the Texans come down and getting a field goal. CJ scrambles. So DeMeco was asked about what happened to change the momentum of the game. When they scored the last 10 points of that half, he goes, CJ changed. That's pretty succinct and dead on. Your quarterback played much better those last two drives. Funny how that happens. Your quarterback plays better. Things go better for you.
What?
The Chargers are like, hey, we wanted some of that.
Yeah.
Their quarterback just started to play worse as the game went on.
Yeah, it really did snowball for Herbert. Because to start the game, he was good. Finding McConkey. Actually, the whole night he could find McConkey. Or the whole afternoon he could find
McConkey. The McConkey touchdown, I'm not giving credit to Herbert for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's not a good throw. I assume, as McConkey is coming across Miles Bryant, who's playing zone, he's supposed to throw that ball into the gap between Bryant and the safety. As McConkey's coming across, instead, the ball holds McConkey up. He makes a great play, jumps up in the air, catches it, and Kalen Bullock's coming and trying to make a pick. McConkey jumps up, makes a catch. Bullock's out of position. He runs in. I'm not giving credit to Herbert for that. I don't think that was a good throw.
But McConkey.
Can make some plays. Now they just need another one, I guess. Herbert should have played in the SEC. He's one of the best hypothetical quarterbacks of all time. If he had this. I do like that people forget he had Mike Williams, Keenan Allen very early in his career. And look, and those numbers were great. He just never won anything of any significance. But now it's, well, he needs receivers because he had receivers and didn't do anything with them.
I will say, Quinn Johnson.
Well, that's a bad choice.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Yes.
It's been fun. We'll always have the 2022 TCU season.
Remember when he caught that short ball against Michigan and ran? Remember Quinn Johnson? Remember that guy who ran it for a touchdown? That's not. As Cam Newton said about Jason Whitlock, not that guy.
Oh, okay.
No, not the. He said other things. I played it earlier. We have to get to that because Cam Newton asked the most pertinent question of this entire thing. It's a question that everyone had about Jason Whitlock when he was talking about what he possibly would have been capable of with Joy Taylor. Cam Newton, he had like a minute 40, probably more, but the audio that was out there was about a minute 40 of him talking about Jason Whitlock. And like the first 45 seconds of him parroting, "You're not that guy, pal," not great, but he got to a question that should have been asked. And we'll get to that at some point. But we'll get to what else happened in the NFL playoffs. Not a great weekend. It started out great because there was a win here. But as far as the football itself, we didn't get any good football until very late in the weekend. It was the Bucs and the Commanders. Makes some sense. That game was predicted to go either way, and it did. Jaden Daniels. That's a rookie quarterback elevating his team. A lot like what CJ did last year, which just means a lot of people are saying, can't crown him yet. We saw what happened to CJ.
That's what I'm saying. All offseason, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels.
How much would Jaden Daniels
Were they too good as rookies?
If Jaden Daniels beats the Lions,
okay,
does he escape? Saw what happened to CJ in year two.
Well, then does he lose to the Eagles?
If he gets to an NFC title game, do we remove the caveats of, well, rookie quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, their growth isn't linear. We're all in on Jaden Daniels if he goes in and beats the one seed.
I'll zag. And it'll be mostly an anti-Cliff Kingsbury.
That makes sense, because how long can this Cliff Kingsbury thing last? How long? Can't last that long, right?
We saw in Arizona that
it doesn't last that long.
Yeah, it kind of falls. It starts awesome every time.
Cliff is going to go off a cliff. Hey, Jaden, how much do you like video games? Because if you can stay away from Call of Duty, we got something here. We will see. All right, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix. Differing performances yesterday.
Different.
A lot to get to as the NFL playoffs were in full force. And certainly we'll get to what happened on Friday. What could have happened on Friday, you ask? Sean knows. We'll get to that at some point here. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So the Rockets didn't play because of weather in Atlanta. They have the Grizzlies here tonight. Two teams, as we talked about the last time they played, battling out for that two seed. So Grizzlies in town against the Rockets. Should be another good game. Grizzlies coming off a late win over the T-Wolves. And because everyone has to get hated on, after I think Ant Edwards missed a chance to tie the game, and someone put up on Twitter a compilation of all his clutch situations. He's not great because no one's the greatest. If you sure the ones that are made stand out, but if you just go by averages, no one's great in clutch situations.
No, everyone's numbers goes down.
Yeah, you would be surprised. All of your favorites, when they have to take a clutch shot, it generally goes poorly because, you know, the NBA decides, hey, let's stop running offense.
Yeah.
Because we don't want any of the actions blown up, so we'll just go one-on-one and we'll take our chances with our best player to see if they make it. And most of the time, they don't.
I will say Anthony Edwards did hit a game-winner with 10 seconds left against the Rockets.
He did knock it down against the Rockets.
In my book, he's as clutch as they come. He's Kobe 2.0.
All we do
two clutches guys.
Because all we do is watch Rockets NBA. We don't watch anything else.
It's like how people watch baseball. It's like
Very true. If it happens against your team.
I only see this guy against the Astros.
Yeah, if it happens against your team, he's the best player to ever play. But that's tonight. Rockets, Grizz in Houston.
Round two. Southwest Division. Not yet on the line, but in the balance.
Mm-hmm. And just should be fun. Those teams are relatively healthy. Outside of Jabari Smith, and of course, can never predict when Tari's going to play.
Doubtful.
Surprising.
I think that's his official.
Yeah, that's his designation. Doubtful. Yeah. And then he'll be downgraded to out, or they'll just leave it a doubtful when he doesn't play. So that will be something to monitor or not, because you kind of know what's going to happen there. Grizz Rockets. Okay, back to the NFL. I don't think anything that happened was that surprising. The blowouts that happened were expected, I think. Like, except for the Packers being as poor as they were. And not like Jalen Hurts was great. Philly wasn't great. The Packers were just worse. I think that was the one that surprised me the most, how bad the Packers were.
I think that's what it was, is that the Packers were just showed up dead.
Yeah.
And some of that is just the first play of the game, the kickoff turn.
Kind of just saps all the momentum.
Yeah, give up. Well, that was a touchdown they gave up after that, right? Or is that the field?
Yes, it was the one where Jalen Hurts had like almost seven seconds to throw. Yeah.
Again, doesn't look great for the effort of the Green Bay Packers or the fire that they came out with. But I think it was that, and combined with that, the Eagles also didn't really like run away with it. I think if it was just Eagles like the highlight film all over the place, I think people would feel different. But the fact it felt like the Eagles were absolutely kicking the ass of Green Bay, and then we're only up 10-0 at halftime, and could have been 10-3 if McManus made a field goal.
Yeah.
I think that's why it slowly devolved into like when, I don't know, like Iowa sits on a team where it's just like,
yeah,
this is 10-0, but it feels like 25-0.
Yeah, four turnovers starting with the kickoff return. Jordan Love throws three picks. He has not been good this year.
No.
Someone pulled out the numbers for when he's simply not dropping back, or when he's dropping back, when he doesn't have the benefit of play action. He's thrown 15 touchdowns and 14 interceptions when he doesn't have the benefit of faking the Jacobs, whoever is back there, and manipulating the defense. Simply dropping back the pass and letting it rip. He has not been good this year. And a disappointing year. It's funny considering the conversations between who's the best young quarterback we had to talk about, 25 and under, and he fit the profile, 25 and under.
Barely.
He's 25. But it was him and CJ were the guys we discussed the most, and neither one of them lived up to what we thought they would be. Now, of course, one of them remains in the playoffs.
So, see you later. See you later, Jordan Love.
Yeah, you're older and you're worse.
Yeah, enjoy Cabo, Justin Herbert. This is how we're living up here, the penthouse. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Is that where he is?
We're all the way back.
The four teams who made it to the division round last year in the AFC are right back where they were in 2024, now 2025.
Crazy.
So, CJ, in that upper echelon, at least when it comes to playing in the final four of the AFC.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Jordan Love. Sorry, Justin Herbert. We don't speak broke over here.
Well, it's funny.
Sorry, Baker Mayfield.
It's funny you say that, considering that Jordan Love and Justin Herbert are far more far more wealthy than her, CJ Stroud right
we
now.
We don't speak middling quarterback.
There it is. Because they both got their contracts, which makes it hurt even more when they're not playing up to at least a level of that contract.
You two and Trevor Lawrence can all talk about how you're spending your money now that you're out of the playoffs.
Throw Tua in there, too. A lot of guys who got their money recently. Joe Burrow, through no fault of his own.
Joe Burrow broke. Not broke. Stinks.
He is not amongst the broke boy quarterbacks, at least when it comes to not playing in the divisional round.
As far as
how he played. Like, the other guys had a part to play in why their teams aren't there. Tua injury, the other two poor performances in the wild card round. Burrow's like, hey, wait a minute. They fired the defensive coordinator because of how great I was, and we still didn't make the playoffs.
Since 2023, since the two division titles, two playoff wins for CJ Stroud, 0-0 for Joe Burrow. Put it on the graphic.
I mean, it's true.
Put it on the graphic.
He was injured in 2023.
That entire 2020 draft class was fraudulent, except for Jalen Hurts.
And he played terrible. Well, he played okay. He's not the reason they won, but he happened to be on the field when they won. So yeah, the Packers, a team a lot of people thought, even though they weren't going to win the division because they were in a great division, some people thought that was maybe the best team in that NFC North. Turns out, no, not so much. They could never beat a good team.
Yeah, that hurt. That, you know,
that hurts.
That does not help in the playoffs.
Yeah,
if you are incapable of beating a good team. Now the Texans are like 1-5 against playoff teams.
Wisconsin Dolphins, the Packers, never beat a good team. And the Texans
combined two different teams.
They're the same teams. Last year the Dolphins couldn't beat a good team, and it showed up when they had to go on the road in the playoffs. Packers same way.
Oh, I thought you were calling them the Wisconsin Badgers, and also the Dolphins. Like you're combining the insult of.
No.
Badgers can't. Yeah.
No.
They also fall into that. Historically, they fall into that.
That's true. But I just think of this team, the Packers last year, and you compare them to what the Dolphins were. They won 11 games, both went 11-6. And when it mattered most, they could not play and beat good teams. They could not play up to that level, and the Packers are the same way. The Texans, they hadn't been great, but they got the benefit of playing a flawed Chargers team at home. And they took advantage of it with their defensive pressure and their DBs and made the Chargers probably look like what some people thought they were going to be coming into the year, but they far exceeded expectations. So, other games, Baltimore and Pittsburgh went the way I expected it to go. The Steelers are in that Chargers realm where, okay, you found a way to make the playoffs, but no one took you seriously. And they played like it. Russell Wilson, throw a couple moon balls, get yourself in a spot where you can maybe make it competitive, but overall that's not a viable way to win games. And the fact that the Ravens just ran the ball down the throat, didn't they have like a 13 play drive where they didn't pass the ball once and just said, okay, let's see what you got, Steelers.
I think
the Steelers had nothing.
14-0.
Every play we're just gonna run the ball. You got nothing for us.
That's not the Steeler football I grew up.
Kirk Herbstreit was like, what happened? This is the Steelers.
He's right.
Well, the Steelers haven't been this tough team for like 10 years. They've been I don't want to say finesse, but they've leaned on the receivers and quarterback for years now. They're not the Blitzburg. Even in the let's go back to early Tomlin. They're not that. They haven't been that for a while now. That is leftover hangover stuff from days gone by. They've been nowhere close to that. They've been okay defensively. Sure, they have T.J. Watt. They have some pass rushers, but who's feared the Steelers?
Dick LeBeau is turning over in his grave.
You just looked up whether he was dead or not, didn't you?
He is still with us, actually.
Okay. I didn't think he was dead.
Born in 1937.
Been around a long time, but not dead yet. Turning over in his
very long
Barca
time.
Lounger.
Very long
watching
time.
Watching his former Steeler defense look as poor as they did. So they got the ball ran down their throat. By Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson.
That happens.
It happens. And we'll see if the Bills can counteract that when they see each other in the last game of the playoffs, at least of the weekend next week, when they go to Orchard Park for, I guess, the premier game of the playoffs so far, certainly. Other than that, go to Buffalo and Denver. Denver hits them early, and it's like, oh, look at Denver. And then it turns out, oh, look at Denver. Look at Denver. Okay, this is there once again. Another Chargers, another Steelers. Nice to have you here. Thanks for overachieving. But you're going to get going up against one of the best teams in football, and it looked like it. 31-7 the final there. I will give you credit for scoring the first touchdown and making it close for about, what, a quarter and a half to two? I mean, it was 10-7 at the half. But once the Bills took the lead, it didn't ever feel like Denver was going to win this game.
That was another one. Field goal right before half. Doinked it.
Yeah. Will Lutz, was it?
Yes, it's Will Lutz. Where could have been tie game going to the half. And it wasn't.
It was, well, yes.
Very much wasn't.
And
then they ran away with it.
Yeah. The Bills ran for over 200 yards in that one. Josh Allen, 46 of them, but James Cook had 120 yards. Ray Davis, only one carry for 3 yards because Josh Allen led him into a medicine ball. That was nasty. And Brandon Jones, the safety for the Broncos, tried to get out of the way. If you missed it, it was either Ray Davis or running back leaked out into the flat, and Josh Allen lost the ball up that kept carrying. It felt like that ball stayed in the air forever, and it turns out it did pretty much because – gave Brandon Jones the safety enough time to come over and make a play. And he turned his shoulder, turned his head, so it wasn't crown of the helmet. It did not matter. Ray Davis was out. Now, he walked off under his own power, tweeted out after the game that he's okay, said much love, I think, something like that. But that was scary. And happening to Buffalo, considering their past, I'm sure a lot of people were a little freaked out. But you saw Josh Allen, when they showed one of his reaction shots, he's like, oh, man, what did I do? That ball still was up there forever. But thankfully, Ray Davis got up. But 31-7, the final. We got the preliminaries out of the way for the most part.
Yeah.
That's all this was.
First round out of the way. In the AFC, all the home teams won.
Yeah.
Just like college football.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to come out and do what everyone else did. Because
overplayed joke of the week.
Yeah. The couple of them. The one where you compare the quarterback playing poorly to the quarterback you believe in, and you say something like, I don't ever want to hear Jordan Love put into the same conversation as insert quarterback you love.
Yeah.
It was Justin Herbert on Saturday, then it was Jordan Love yesterday. And the other one is, man, the committee really got it wrong. I guess they should have put the Bengals in, something like that. Guys.
They valued the wins of Denver.
Guys.
How good.
Trust me, sports media. And frankly, it's mostly the media who I have a problem with when they do it. If a fan wants to do it, who cares? But if you're thinking it, you're not that bright. There are hundreds of other media members like yourself thinking the same thing. You don't have to tweet it. It's fine.
We're good.
I know your followers, you'll get some engagement from it, but trust. There are hundreds of other people just like you writing the same thing.
They're all like college football writers for like The Athletic.
Yeah. It was like Chris Vanini, I saw write it. Stuart Mandel, I think, put one up. All right, guys. I know you follow each other. When the first guy does it, he got there first.
Do you think they have like a work, since they all, actually now that I think about it, they all work together. Do you think they had like a work Slack and someone put it in the work Slack and then everyone tried to rush to steal that guy's joke? Do you think that's what happened? Do you think Chris Vanini is a joke thief? That's what I'm asking.
I would think more of him if he was a joke thief. If he tried to get out ahead of everyone else as opposed to just duplicating what everyone else wrote. If he stole it and it wasn't his original idea, I would respect it more. The fact that everyone he knows is writing the same thing and he still put it out there, I'm more disappointed in that. Speaking of college football, we'll get to that when we come back.
We don't have to.
We'll talk about it.
Oh yeah, Carson Beck.
No, I don't. That's depressing for me. Let's get to something that's depressing for you.
Hurt people.
Yeah. Let's get to something that you don't like, not what I don't like. Carson Beck, now a Miami Hurricane, and what was funny was the women's basketball account was like, I don't know which one's his girlfriend, Haley or Hannah. One of them dating Jake Ferguson from the Cowboys. The other's dating him. The women's basketball account for the Miami Hurricanes was like, let's get to insert whatever Cavender it was, best assist of the year, right after the announcement was made. That's funny. I'll give you credit for that. That's funnier than anything of those college football writers wrote about the playoff in the NFL. But first, before we get to Sean's depressing moment of the weekend, we're going to talk about Prize Picks.
Yes, something I love. Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and it is the playoffs still, despite one team losing on Friday. The playoffs will go on, and the best way to get involved is on Prize Picks. You've been watching these teams all year. You've been watching the playoffs all year. I mean, feels like the college football playoffs have gone on forever, and you've been watching all the games. You know how to make some money when Ohio State and Notre Dame play. But maybe college football isn't your sport. Maybe you want to get in on the NFL action. You watched all the games this Saturday. This Saturday and Sunday. You have watched the Vikings, and you've watched the Rams play all year. You can make some money tonight on Prize Picks. All you do, you go to the Prize Picks app, or you go to your app store. You download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
ESPN 97.5.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.